Streaming to the universe live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report. That was an intro from Brian Kenny of Hearst Ranch right there. We thank Brian for all he contributes with his music to the network. Today our show is sponsored by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons out of Surrey, Virginia. And we have an exciting show today. I'm really excited to speak with Severin Von Scharner Fleming of the Greenhorns. She is also a host on the Heritage Radio Network. Her show, The Greenhorns, can be listened to live every Tuesday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we've got Severin on the line with us. How are you, Severin?
Indeed. Happy spring.
Thank you. Well, finally, right?
It's about time. We were getting a little bit knocked down in our socks.
Definitely. Well, I know you travel around a lot, so maybe you've seen more of the springish type of weather than I have, but let's give our listeners of the Farm Report an idea of who the Greenhorns are.
So, the Greenhorns is a network of young farmers, and we're organized in different ways, organized by many different people, but as a core is a nonprofit organization that works to promote, recruit, and support young farmers across America as they begin and their careers in agriculture and succeed at feeding the people close to them and the people that they know. We have a blog, a wiki, a map, a film. We do the radio show. Lots of events that are educational and celebrational. And then we do also one-on-one pep talks when that's called for.
What's a wiki?
Oh, yes. Well, a wiki is a web-based resource sharing technology.
Huh.
Many people are aware of Wikipedia, which is like the encyclopedia of the wiki. But a wiki is basically an online forum where people who are participants and knowers of knowledge can share the knowledge that they know with other people in a kind of a coordinated way. So our wiki is about resources that are useful and relevant to beginning farmers.
All right, wonderful. Well, what constitutes a young farmer for the Greenhorns, age-wise?
Yeah, well, you know, we like to say, if you wear short shorts, then you're a young farmer. But basically, the average farmer in America is 57 years old.
Hmm.
And in California, the number of farmers who are 75 and older outnumbers the number of farmers who are 25 and younger by a factor of 60 to 1.
Wow.
And California is actually, you know, as you may know, quite the scene for young farmers. So the situation is not so good on in terms of our demographics, and right now it's estimated by the U.S. Census that only 6% of farmers in the United States are age 30, 35 and younger, and that's just about 300,000 people that we're talking about. So even if we are a little bit vague about how young you have to be, we're not talking about all that many people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's good because we're already very busy.
Well, I mean, it's bad for the future, but it's good for you guys. Bad for the future of agriculture, that is. What was your motivation to start this? I mean, I'll call it a movement, basically. What was their motivation behind the Greenhorns?
Well, the Greenhorns is really more like just a set of facilities for the movement. And, you know, we were inspired to found the group and really, we were mostly inspired in the very beginning just to document what was going on on the ground all over this country and in places that we found not to be terribly visible or accessible unless you're a practitioner already and wanted to make that story and to bring those voices a little bit clearer into the public view, mostly because we knew that this is one of the really important parts of reclaiming our food system and this work that these young farmers are doing and these new businesses that are ag-based businesses are such a big part of the solution. We felt like the issue needed a bit more visibility. So really, the whole rest of all that we're doing in the parties and the mixers and helping the conferences do more conference programming for beginning farmers and consulting with the USDA on how to make agriculture a more positive career choice for kids who are going through public schools and talking with their guidance counselors. All this is kind of followed from that original intention, which was, you know, farming is the solution, and we need more smart, ambitious people to get tuned into that career opportunity and to become a part of the solution. So it's all down, it's all downstream from that original intention.
And hopefully it'll all move uphill from there. Well, what, like, do you envision the farmers that you visit to be able to potentially put a dent in industrial agriculture at some point?
Invented industrial agriculture?
Yeah, and, like, put a dent in it. Like, are the farmers that you're visiting producing food at a level where soon they'll be able to not just necessarily feed, you know, the people in their own backyards and themselves, but, you know, the larger community that, you know, the industrial, you know, agriculture is currently feeding?
Well, you know, the thing about industrial agriculture, and it's hard to make generalizations because, you know, I'm driving an industrial vehicle at this moment, mm-hmm. and but it took about 30 years of very deliberate agricultural policy, and it's taken much longer even than that for the technology and the policy and the consolidation of businesses and the production and mass processing of foodstuffs in this country to get us where we are now, mm-hmm. In terms of the food system. And that, you know, concentration and toxification and intensification and consolidation and specialization, mm-hmm. you know, that's like a pretty toxic process. Mm-hmm. But it took a while for them to get to, you know, for us to get to where we are today. And I think similarly, you've seen in the last, 35 years, how the organic movement has grown at an incredible pace and mm-hmm. continues to grow at an incredible pace, kind of alongside and embedded within that industrial agricultural matrix. And so, you know, these things take a time mm-hmm. To develop, and the processes continue. Basically, we're deeply outnumbered right now, mm-hmm. We being small and beautiful by, you know, big and
bad.
Powerful and you know, quite toxic. So, you know, it's hard to assess, you know, what mm-hmm. the time frame is for when we will replace, you know, them.
Right.
But I'd say it's probably not next week, but it, you know, it might be sooner than we think. Because research has shown that industrially managed, conventionally managed systems of monoculture and intensive biotech agriculture are much less resistant to fluxes in the climate, and in particularly drought conditions, organic systems outperform conventional systems. And particularly if, you know, the oil is spiking and input costs are rising, organic and low-input agriculture is actually better equipped to handle those changes mm-hmm. and is inherently more resilient than is the industrial counterpart. So it's kind of a long-term, complicated you know, situation, and it's obviously a really piecemeal, farm by farm, case by case answer, and, you know, especially because there's just going to be a lot of shakedown that happens mm-hmm. in the next little while, I think, anyway.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that. Do you have any background or a connection with farming or our farmers?
Well, yes, I do. and when I was little, I spent this, my mother is Swiss, and my and my father is Californian. So in the summertime, we spent the whole summer of, like, the whole vacation, every summer in Switzerland.
Wow.
On my mother's farm. And, you know, from when I was the tiniest little creature. And we drank raw milk, and we picked flowers, and we ate cherries. And it wasn't an organic farm. It was a conventional farm. It's a family farm.
Mm-hmm.
And on that farm, I guess I just fell in love with the spaces and shapes and textures of agriculture. And then I went to college, you know, a little later. I'm skipping, but... And along with some friends of mine, we founded this fabulous farm at Pomona College, basically on an old dump site where the school had been putting their, like, green waste.
Mm.
And so, really, actually, it was compost. And we planted hundreds of trees, and we built these fabulous raised beds, and we, you know, engaged in, you know, a lot of community process and community development and organized events, and had to figure out how to, you know, none of us really knew what we were doing, but we read books and we figured out how to do irrigation and how to negotiate for various things that we needed, and got the green waste from the colleges and converted our cars over to vegetable oil, and, you know, just, like, got involved in all the logistics.
Right.
I'm into logistics, you know, it's fun.
Well, it's necessary, and as an advocate for young farmers, it's really nice, you know, to see that and hear that you've you know, pretty much done the job yourself. And I know that when I met you, you're with a pretty deep rolling crew down in Georgia a couple years ago at the Organics Conference. So I'd love to come back after this break and talk a little bit about your crew and what you guys are doing as you're traveling around this country, as you said, documenting all the farmers that you're visiting. So let's take a quick break and come right back and talk more about that in a minute on today's Farm Report.
Talk about that, Steve and Cliff. We should have Steve and Cliff on.
That's who we.
Back with Wednesday's Heritage Radio Network Farm Report, live every Wednesday at 5. We're here right now with the hosts of Greenhorns Radio, which you could hear live every Thursday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We've got the host herself on with us, the Farm Report today, Severin von Scharner Fleming. And Severin, you've got a movie or a documentary coming out soon. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. We've just been up to our eyeballs in it today. resumed editing. This winter, we had kind of a big land drama. We lost our lease and had to move the whole operation in the middle of a blizzard. The big, you know, the blizzard that was 3 days long and no power?
Okay.
Yeah, that blizzard.
Oh,
and so Greenhorns kind of was on mothballs, or rather in hard drive for the winter until we could get resettled and refunded to resume editing, and so now we're back on the ball and moving from our rough cut, really focused on getting it done in the end of the summer, so that we can take it out to schools and to mostly we're really focused for this fall on getting it to schools and young audiences. We're pretty much motivated to get more young people to think about farming as a career. That's ultimately the whole purpose of this project. And then obviously beyond that, everything is pretty much bonus.
Is there a name for this film yet?
Oh, yes. Everything is called Greenhorns. It's Greenhorns is the name of the movie.
Okay.
And Greenhorns is the name of the radio. And Greenhorns is the... Because greenhorns are the horns that we trumpet, our light. Greenhorns are the horns that we lash to the plow and pull the hard jobs that we're pulling. And so greenhorns is kind of like... Greenhorn also is a new entrant. Like, in the past, you would call someone a greenhorn kind of in a derogatory way, like when you first show up at the ranch.
Really? Wow.
So for us, you know, we're kind of like reclaiming the fact that, you know, we are inexperienced, you know, as beginners in farming, but we are also, we're also bringing a new perspective and fresh eyes and young, brave muscles to an industry that has not been really attracting that many people, as those demographic numbers will tell you. Has not been as attractive in recent times as, you know, really it needs to be to survive.
Well, who's paying for this movie? Where's the funding come from?
So Greenhorns is a nonprofit organization. And so that means that we're grant funded, and also, sorry, that's a siren. since last year, we have been partnered with Cornell University's Small Farms Program and a whole bunch of other partners in receiving a grant from the USDA. So one day a week, our work is funded by Uncle Sam. But the other 8 days a week, we're funded by foundations who've made grants to our nonprofit. And so, like, one of our great supporters is the Newman Foundation. They make, you know, Paul Newman, they make the salad dressing and the cookies. And then Ben and Jerry's Foundation. And, you know, all of those funders have a mission to support, you know, grassroots endeavors that are about young people and about ecology. And so those are the kind of qualifications that that our organization is serving. Those are our missions, too.
Right.
And especially, as, you know, the film has been really hard to fund, but a lot of the other programming has been a lot easier to fund. And that programming, which is like helping with conferences and doing these young farmer mixers all over the country, those have been kind of easier to fund, and you know, not only easier to fund, but really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, sounds like fun. And I'd love to know who comes to these mixers. Are they the young farmers, members of the community?
Yeah, so we just had a mixer. Actually, we just had a mixer in Petaluma, California. Not last week, but let's see now. Was it 2 weeks ago? 2.5 weeks ago. And that was an event at the Seed Bank in Petaluma, which is a pretty amazing institution. I would encourage you to link to it and check it out.
Great.
And there were, I think, about 120 young farmers there.
Wow.
And there were people who were aspiring farmers who were there. But the majority, if you looked around the room, everybody was brown enough and strong enough that you knew that they were not aspiring, but they were, you know, actually farming.
You mean like if you went and looked at their fingernails, you would be able to say, ah, you're a farmer.
Yeah, you would be pretty, it would be pretty evident.
That's pretty impressive. 120 in one place, all sharing ideas. That's pretty awesome.
Well, you should see also, I mean, and we had one in Hardwick, Vermont, months ago. And there was like 160 who showed up. And that's like a tiny little town.
Yeah.
You know?
And now, are all of these mixers and everywhere you go, are you filming everything? Is this all in your movie?
Well, we're filming. We're trying to film everything. I mean, we filmed in Petaluma. Then before that, we were in Oregon. We had a mixer in Oregon at the Small Farmers Journal annual horse-drawn farm equipment sale. And then we've done them, you know, a whole bunch of places. And, you know, as best we can muster, we filmed you know, kind of internally what's happening with greenhorns, and then also, you know, the farmers that we meet through events and the farmers that we go and find, you know, on our kind of film trips.
What is your crew like? How many of you are there, and is it always changing, or has it always been the same people that you travel around with?
It's always, you know, depends on where you ask me that question, because, you know, we're trying to always work with local cinematographers as much as possible, just because most of the travel that I do is by train,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, private cars, because the airplanes are expensive, so mm-hmm. I'll take the train from New York down, swoop someone up in North Carolina, mm-hmm. and then we'll travel on the train together until Georgia, then we'll hop off and be met by someone's intern who then drives us over to another farm, and then we pick up another drive. So, like, our last trip we had, it was, like, 6 private vehicles. Mm-hmm. You know, people were coming from 4 different states, and we just kind of, like, assemble and then go across 4 states and, you know, shoot for 5 days and then, you know, disperse again. But so a very, it's like very kind of virtual in terms of how we're organizing all these things.
Right.
And it's a little bit complicated, but, you know, we eat really well and,
sure.
and we're passed fondly from hand to hand as we travel. So people don't really complain too much.
Good. Well, how long were you filming for? How long did it take to get all the footage you needed for the movie?
It's taken us 2.5 years, I think, mm-hmm. at this point. Or not quite 2.5, but a little bit almost there. And we have right now, I think, 360 hours of footage. And so, obviously, you know, the film is a normal documentary, like 1.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
But we're already conceiving of and planning out how we'll make, you know, more media product with all that. You know, digital media and how we'll
awesome.
Make, like, we want to make internet shorts that are kind of more episodic,
mm-hmm.
but we have to do first things first, so.
Yeah, first right now, the long movie and then the segments.
exactly.
And I know you said you were excited to, you know, bring the movie to schools, but do you have, you know, the intention of bringing it to the mass public, to everyone, you know, to see?
Well, I mean, we've had some, you know, conversations with some television networks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those were very nice. And they offered us, you know, some money, and which we really could have used. But we wanted to keep really tight control over the end product and over the, you know, message
Definitely.
That we're sending.
'Cause,
you know, people, you know, young farmers are really... charismatic and, you know, they're super compelling, but the message that we're kind of telling with this film is, you know, is equally about heroism and heartbreak.
Right.
And
yeah.
and that heartbreak part of it is pretty important, and
you gotta tug on those heartstrings to make people really realize what's going on here and why this is important.
Well, it's not even about tugging on heartstrings, it's more about tugging on wallet strings and tugging on policy strings and tugging on cultural and educational strings and saying, you know, we, in order to succeed, we young farmers, we need change at the policy level. We need change at the educational level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need more citizens to become involved in the processes of community and, you know, authentically engage more than just like by swiping their credit card in a different direction. And, you know, that's going to require... You know, that's going to require a different set of, I'm sorry, I have ADHD, and I just got a text message.
Uh-oh.
And ADHD, by the way, just to keep it relevant to now, yesterday a report came out exposing the fact that ADHD is caused by exposure to pesticides.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yes, and you know, this is exactly what... This is exactly the problem with industrial agriculture, is it makes more, you know, imagine if everybody was distracted like I am, how long it would take things to happen.
Yeah, films would never come, never be released, I guess, huh?
It would be horrible.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, this has been great. I mean, we have so much more that we could talk about, and I really do hope to have you on again soon, especially as the movie, you know, is ready to be premiered, and we can talk about, you know, how people perceive it and where you've shown it, and hopefully host a screening of it somewhere here at the studio. But I know I'll be seeing you soon, and I hope to bring you up on my program again. But everyone could definitely listen to more about the Greenhorns and all the fun things they're doing all across the country every Thursday at 2 o'clock on the Heritage Radio Network. And Severin, thanks so much for being, you know, on with me today, and I definitely look forward to having you on again soon. And thank you to our listeners and to S. Wallace Edwards and Sons of Surrey, Virginia for sponsoring today. We'll be back with the Farm Report next Wednesday live at 5 on the Heritage Radio Network. As always, you could podcast us by searching us on iTunes or listen us to any episode on our archives at the heritageradionetwork.com website. See y'all, hear y'all next week. Thanks.